Chapter 12 of Revelation is a panoramic view of Christ's birth, his ascension, his victory over Satan, the defeat of him at the cross, Satan's anger and persecution against the church that was taken out upon apostate Israel, and God's preservation of the church for 3.5 years in the wilderness, just like Jesus prophesied. We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning, and welcome back to Today in the Word. Can you believe it? We're in the second half of the book of Revelation. All seven trumpets have been declared. Before we enter into the bowls or the chalices of wrath, we get a picture right here in the middle of the book of Revelation of the work of Christ, the victory in the church, and even as the enemy tries to come against us even to today. I want to walk through chapter 12 with you. I think you're going to see it very encouraging, just like the early church would have seen it. Let's begin reading at verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. It wasn't just a sign. He said, I saw a great sign. A great sign because this is announcing or declaring or giving us a picture of the work of Christ and his victory. So it's not just a sign, but a great sign. A woman. We see it depicts Israel, believing Israel, because as it describes her, she's clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and the 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It's not unusual for us to see her depicted here as the true believers, because there were those. Though it was a remnant by the time Christ came, there were those like Simeon. There was Joseph and Mary and many others, of course, that would have been true believers and waiting for the Messiah. Now, what we see here is that God not only has chosen his people to come forth, but this woman is going to be seen as a continuation of the fulfillment in the church as well. Let's watch this. It says, and then another sign appeared in heaven. Enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. So here now is another sign, but this time it's the devil. This enormous red dragon has 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns, which reveals his authority. And also it refers to the vision that Daniel would have had over in Daniel chapter 7, where the dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns is just like Daniel's beast, who had collectively had 7 heads as well as the 10 horns. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome would be in those early stages of the dragon or Satan trying to illicitly have power, where ultimately in the days of those kings, the God of heaven would set up his kingdom, which we know happened in Jesus. So the significance of the 7 heads is thus not just the fact that it was hard to kill or that he had full authority, but we see it tied to Daniel's beast. A tail swept 1/3 of the angels from the sky to the earth. We see this represents Satan and the angels that fell with him. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the angels that sinned, as well as Jude 6. So we need to remember that our conflict is not with people, is it? It's with principalities and powers. So we're told that Satan prepared to kill this baby, which we know it's Jesus, right at its birth. Well, we know the Bible tells us, and history would tell us as well, that that's what happened. Through Herod, demonized, because Satan's always working through people as well, he tried to kill baby Jesus, waited there, had all those children, 2 years and younger, killed. Well, King Herod was an Edomite, ruler of Judea. And so he's inspired by the enemy, by the devil, by the dragon, to kill those children in an attempt to try to take Jesus. And we know it's Jesus because it says that this is this male child who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And that's the gospel. And that's spoken about Jesus over and over through the Bible, but particularly in the book of Revelation. Listen to what 1 Corinthians says, talking about had Satan known what was happening. He's trying to kill the baby, but in reality, he gets defeated through this child that's caught up into heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood. If they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that just like the victory of Christ? Let's continue reading in chapter 12. And her child was snatched up to God, to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. All that we are told here is that the child is snatched up. His birth and his ascension, all in one word. Skipping over the life, death, burial, and resurrection, but making the point here that the enemy, Satan, was not able to kill the child, but rather he was victorious even in his ascension. And it says, and the woman, now the believers, fled into the wilderness where a place was prepared for her for 1260 days or 3.5 years, just like Jesus prophesied. Remember, we're tying Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 over and over again to the book of Revelation, because Revelation is a magnification or a detailed explanation of what Jesus prophesied. When he started talking about those times that would come up on the people, he says in Matthew 24, verse 15, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. In other words, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, that would be the Roman armies. We know that because Luke 21, instead of saying abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's written to the Jewish believers. Luke, writing to a Gentile, just explains it this way. When you see armies surround Jerusalem, flee. Get into the wilderness, just as Christ had prepared a place for the church. So let's keep reading. He says here, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for a pregnant woman, nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Jesus is saying, when you see these times coming, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then flee, get into the mountains, and pray that you not be pregnant, and pray that your flight not be in winter, and pray that it not be on the Sabbath. That's obviously not second coming verses. Jesus is talking specifically about that generation that would not pass away till all those things be fulfilled. If it's second coming verses, why would a mother pray that she not be nursing? That'd be a great time for Jesus to come back. You wouldn't be praying for your flight not to be in winter if Jesus is coming back. You wouldn't pray that you not be on Sabbath, because the Jews would not allow you to travel more than a quarter of a mile on the Sabbath. That would be breaking the Sabbath rule. So Jesus said, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath because you couldn't get out of town. That has nothing to do with the second coming. Jesus was prophesying the fleeing of the woman, the church, the believers, into the wilderness for 3.5 years, a place that was prepared for her to be nourished and taken care of, just like the prophet Elijah. During his time, that he fled into the wilderness and was provided and nourished for 3.5 years. That 3.5 years, of course, is times of judgment, and that would be taking place upon apostate Israel, as the saints in history tells us, Josephus tells us, that not one Christian lost their life in the destruction of Jerusalem, because obviously they believed Jesus' prophecy and fled into the wilderness. And there was a place that was prepared for her. Even though over 1 million Jews lost their lives, the Christians were preserved during those final days of destruction. Now, chapter 12, what we're about to see is now a description of Jesus' victory over the cross. It's not a sequel of the previous verses, but we're getting a panoramic view. Jesus was caught up in the ascension, the church fled into the wilderness, and verse 7 says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now, the war here is the defeat of Satan at the cross. This is not talking about eons of time before. This is directly relationship to the defeat of Satan's authority when Jesus went to the cross. It's a panoramic view of the work and victory of Jesus. Notice, it is Michael and his angels that fight. They initiate it, because the cross of Christ was the one who initiated. Satan, the dragon, tried to fight back, but was not strong enough, and so his place was cast down. He was hurled. It mentions it 2 or 3 times. He and his angels were hurled to the earth, meaning their place of authority was defeated. It's real similar, as you see, Michael as being the protector of God's people. He showed up in Daniel chapter 10. You remember when Daniel was praying and Gabriel was going to bring him the message, and the prince of Persia resisted and fought, and then Michael showed up and won the battle. It's really, see, God's not doing the fighting. The angel Michael and the other angels are fighting on his behalf. And we could say it was actually the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus that was the authority that defeated Satan through Michael. Now, in John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus references this defeat as he's about to go to the cross. And he says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out or driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. So Jesus is going to the cross. He's about to die. And he's saying the death of the cross is the time of the judgment of the world. His death on the cross is the time that the prince of the power of the air will be cast down. That's exactly what we see when the old dragon was defeated. Jesus gives a preview of that to his disciples. You remember over in Luke chapter 10, when he sent them out 2 by 2 and they came back and said, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. He was giving them a preview of what it would be like when he went to the cross. He sent them out, meaning by his authority they went out. Now, when Jesus rose on high, he defeated the Satan, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has sent us out under his authority, and he's giving them a preview of that. Isn't that what Jesus prophesied when he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Let's keep reading in Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life so much even as to shrink from death. We hear the proclamation through the panoramic view of the victory of Christ. You remember over in chapter 11, when the seven trumpets sounded, it says the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. We're seeing again the picture of this. The believers overcome the devil through the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not shrink back even when their life was in jeopardy. It told the martyrs they did not die in vain. Those who had been killed in that first generation of believers. It's true for us today. We often quote that verse of scripture, they overcome him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's true, but don't forget, and they did not love their lives even unto death. They did not shrink back from death. They were willing to give up their self-life and their literal life if necessary. Satan, the accuser, is cast out. We see this played out in the book of Job. You remember in the first chapter, actually the second chapter too, but in the first chapter, when the sons of God met, it was like a council of heaven came together. And it said, and Satan came among them. And God said to Satan, where have you been? You know, God asks questions not to get information, but to reveal what he already knows. And he said, where have you been? And Satan says, I've been going to and fro upon the earth. Meaning his job was to go up on the earth and find people he could accuse before God. He is the accuser of the brothers. And God said, well, look at my servant Job. Have you considered him? That's a powerful story. But you see that Satan had a place as an accuser from Adam's sin to be able to accuse us. He was like a prosecutor against us, if you believe, if you please. But when Jesus came as the last Adam and died on the cross, he defeated Satan and took that authority from him, and the accuser of the brother had been brothers, Satan, the accuser of the brothers, has been cast out. No longer today does he have an official right to accuse us. Only deception. He can only work through deceiving. Hallelujah. Now, verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Now, when Satan was defeated at the cross, he's turned his anger towards the sea, it says, and of course the land, talking about the nations or Rome and apostate Israel, because he was furious because he realized his time was short. And we're going to see in the next chapters in Rome, next chapter is how Rome and Israel become like beasts up out of the sea and out of the land, and they're going to be demonized to torment the church as described here. Now, verse 13 says, when the dragon saw that he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. When Satan was defeated through the cross, shortly after that, as you remember in the book of Acts, persecution broke out. When it says that the dragon spewed out water like a river to overtake the woman, it was persecution that Satan, when he was defeated, began to try to come against the church. Now, in this heavy time of persecution or this time of destruction, the judgment was going to come upon apostate Israel, the church was given two wings, the woman was given two wings to flee out of the dragon's reach. That's when she fled into the wilderness for 3.5 years, or times and half a times. It's the imagery that Daniel 7 gives to us here, and was preserved there in the wilderness as a place prepared for her. But it says, from the mouth of the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman. Now, it wasn't able to do that. And this torment, which attacked not only, tried to attack the early church, but when the church was protected, came against the land and the sea, or Israel and Rome. In other words, Satan's fury was turned loose, just like we see in Numbers chapter 16 in the Old Testament. The earth opened up and swallowed. Here we have again those rebellious people. Again, the land received the persecution. I keep saying persecution, but the land received the torment of Satan itself and the destruction against apostate Israel. So what would have come against the church, God preserved the church, but Israel received that judgment. Now Milton Terry, in his book, he writes this: the great thought of all of these images is that the divine power is put forth to deliver and to sustain the New Testament Church of God in the day of her persecution. And the same power that old wrought the miracles of Egypt and of the Red Sea and of the wilderness, just like God delivered his people first out of Exodus, through Exodus, out of Egypt, into the wilderness and preserved for what he had prepared for them. So God did again preserve his people. Then verse 17, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring and those who keep God's commandment and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. When the red dragon, or when this old dragon, saw that he was defeated, and he even tried to go after the early church, but God preserved a place for them, he did take out his anger and his torment against apostate Israel. That was the destruction that took place there, of course, under the command of God. But even now, it says, when he saw that he could not do any of those things, when the dragon was enraged at the woman who went off to wage war with her offspring, the offspring meaning the church of today, the early church woman that brings forth her children, individuals, not just collectively is the church attacked as a woman, but her offspring, because the dragon was not successful in the first generation. It does not stop him in his deception to keep trying to come after the children of the offspring. Because it says, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to the testimony about Jesus. That's us. We're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers in dark places, and that the enemy has schemes against us, but rejoice, for he is defeated. For the picture of Christ is the ascension, defeated Satan, and now he can be placed under our feet because the truth of Christ has come through the gospel. Don't you love the book of Revelation? Thank you for joining me today in the Word.